for today.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
I'm really shocked. I thought older people knew a lot more than I know. Now, maybe that's just me, but in other words, like, there's, you know, I'm a very imperfect person. And there are things I see about myself. I always think I was some great guy. And I realized later in life, I never thought of myself as arrogant. I said, you're a little arrogant there. Oh, I didn't know I was being arrogant. And, you know, God resists the proud. He's been very kind to me, but nonetheless, in spite of the fact that, oh, and I've also noticed a thread in life. Now, I've got to meet a lot of famous people. Just met a guy who won a Tony Award on Broadway. I mean, all these people. And I've noticed generally, there is a thread of humility, teachability, flexibility.
Right. There's a softening of your heart because of your that makes you susceptible to that capacity.
How come some people have that so young, though? I mean, I got beat up a lot to get here. But somebody like Billy Graham has it at 22. He's the humblest man I ever met, by the way.
Well,
gentle, kind.
You know, you think in terms of Scripture speaks in terms of the body of Christ. Yeah. Okay, we have an eye, we have an elbow, we have a kidney, we have a liver. We're all different, and we come together as the body of Christ. So we're all going to be coming from different places. We're not all going to be the same. No. We're all unique.
We all have unique callings.
And God knows, you know, the verse, you know, he knew us when we were knit in the womb.
Yeah, Jeremiah knew us before, yeah.
Yeah, well, if that is true, then he knows my strengths and weaknesses, of course. And you know, how I receive those things in my life, you know, are going to vary from person to person. You know, and
no, he gave you so anyway, let's get back to the thing. We didn't find out your dad was a believer, Methodist, I guess.
Right. My mom and dad
both were.
When
did you have what they call an epiphany?
I don't believe I necessarily did.
Maybe it was gradual.
Yeah. And
you definitely are a believer.
Yes. And
I wouldn't.
You know, I can look at events in my life where I see Romans 8:28 very literally. You know,
all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose.
Exactly. So, you know, you're in a hot spot, you're not sure, you get through it, and you realize, oh. And then how does that add to you? How does that build you? So, you know, I would have to say the turning point in my life where I actually thought, hey, I need to start taking my life seriously. And, you know, my parents, I grew up in the church when I was young. I want to say 10 or 11. I don't remember the details. There was something that happened with them in church leadership they were in. So they stopped attending. Didn't stop believing, but just because of that experience, it stopped attending.
Right in the dead center of the Bible, it says, trust in God, not in man.
Exactly. But so anyhow, and where we lived, there were, you know, there were the Methodist church. And then there was a military, non-denominational church that served the military community there. It was a Protestant church, and so we attended that some. But then, you know, the Methodist church, something happened. I don't remember what. My parents stopped attending. Mm-hmm. I did too. And just kind of was floundering around. But I was a believer. I mean, at that stage, I think I'd even been baptized by that point. But that could be meaningless if your heart isn't in the right place when you do it. You know, it's just an outward act. You know, but I was a believer. I want to say when I was 12 to 13, came pretty close to being a delinquent. And I won't get into the details, but there were some things.
I went to a church last night, right?
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to, you know, have the privacy of one of those stalls. And they have about 8 stalls. So I go in, and the big one, because I like it's spacious, it's got its own sink and everything, was locked. I figured somebody's in there. But then I tried all, some kid had gone in there and sat in a church, a Baptist church, and had locked every one of the toilets.
That's funny. Now, this is a little more significant.
Naughtiness.
And it was something that involved a neighbor and two other kids, and anyhow. But what happened with that was, it didn't occur to me at the time what took place. You know, life gives you frequently forks in the road. And you may not realize you're there, but when you get beyond it, you can look back and say, that was a fork, you know, and I made, and
choices,
and then how that gets used. So, you know, at that stage, I'm just kind of hanging out, not doing anything, even though, you know, I wasn't old enough to work yet, but what I had no focus, no plan, and some.
You
really
didn't dream about being an attorney.
No.
Your dad was not an attorney before you.
I had no idea what I wanted to do. No idea what I wanted to do. But what happened there, some really good conversations with my dad about, you know, where are you going? You know, you may not realize it, but this is important, pretty important stage in your life.
How old are you now?
Like 12, 13.
Okay. That's kind of putting a lot on you. 12.
I was in Boy Scouts. I'd stopped being really active with the Boy Scouts.
But 80% of all college graduates do something unrelated to what they studied.
Right.
You know, he's saying a 12-year-old.
So, well, it's interesting because back to Romans 8:28.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, I need to get focused. So, you know, I said, you know what? I'm a believer. I haven't been going to church. I do not want to project this level of maturity in my thinking at the time. In other words, what I'm saying is, was I sitting down and thinking, you know, as the way that I'm talking now, was I that self-aware? No, but the effect of it was where I'm going, which was that I started going to church, involved in a youth group, and actually—
What about the delinquency thing?
It took care of itself.
What had you done?
I don't want to get into it.
Oh no, we want to hear.
Well, it did involve a felony or two, and
okay.
it was. But it, you know, the interesting thing was, nobody.
Stage.
There were two other kids that were involved. That while I'm just completely freaked out about it, looking for how do I avoid this and whatever. My mom comes in. And says, you know, such and such happened. Do you know anything about it? And here's my out. I said, yeah, Mom, I do. She wasn't expecting that.
Oh,
she
you was admitted just, to it.
Yeah, she was thinking that.
So you're essentially a good guy.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But the interesting thing was she came in asking just, like, as a witness perspective, what do you know? Any chance you have any idea about what might have happened or heard anything, whatever, not expecting. So, you know, tears from her. Got it worked out. But what it did, though, for me was it really, at an early age, gave me an opportunity to be focused. And at that point, okay, I got active in youth group, leadership in youth group at my church, then leadership in the high school, got me interested in government, got me interested in law. You know, I think I could be a lawyer sort of thing. So. By my senior...
So by getting in trouble, it actually opened up the door for
Romans
you to get into law.
Romans 8.
It gave you an interest in law.
Romans 8:28. Okay, now fast forward.
We're going to put that on your grave. Romans 8:28.
Fast forward. So one of my first jobs out of law school was a prosecutor in the juvenile division.
Oh, wow.
So I believe I have the gift of discernment. There's certain kids you would see,
I would
try not to necessarily cast judgment, but the certain kids, okay, this is their 15th arrest. Then there are other kids that was maybe their first, second, or third, okay? The first, second, or third arrests, I could have conversations with those lawyers and through the lawyers speak to these kids and help them understand this is a fork in the road. You may not realize it. And don't let it define you. Just because you've messed up now doesn't mean you are a mess up. It means you've got an opportunity to do differently. Stay focused and work around this. And I've had friends, family friends whose kids have gotten in trouble here and there. And it's a real easy thing to say, you know, to decide, because you don't have any perspective. You know, if you're 15 years old and you just get in trouble and for the next 6 months to a year, you're going to have to deal with the juvenile delinquency issue. What percentage of your life now is that? What kind of, how can that affect your perspective? Are you going to let it define you? You know what? I'm a mess up. I've ruined my life.
Because back then, it is, you're looking, a child's looking for attention, whether they get it negatively or positively.
Right.
And if they found that they get it negatively, they'll jump in that and they'll just head in that direction.
Oh, yeah. I mean, on that point, I would see kids with, you know, from very well-off, prosperous backgrounds. And, you know, just as a sidebar, what you see is mom and dad would show them love by giving them stuff, but not time. And when all of a sudden mom and dad are saying no about things, they would tend to equate that no to rejection as opposed to discipline and teaching and what have you. But you know, fast forwarding into the current time, when I, you know, with family friends, with kids that have had delinquencies, even adults that have messed up, I can have a conversation with them and say, look, I could have been on that path, and don't let this define you. Now is all about using the correct fork in the road.
Very powerful time.
And putting, you can put it behind you, learn from it and put it behind you, but don't let it define you. You don't have to live like this.
Yeah, well, I had someone in my family, and my grandmother always told my uncle, you're going to end up in jail, and he ended up in jail. He was the black sheep of the family, quote unquote.
A lot of power in words.
They had lost it. Their sixth child had been lost to cancer, little Joey, when he was six. So when Uncle Mike was born, they spoiled him. Mm. And he was a brat. I mean, he kicked the priest's ankle when he was marrying my aunt and uncle. And he got in a lot of trouble. But you tell a boy, you're going to end up in jail. You're going to end up in jail. He ended up in jail. You have to be very careful what we speak, because the Bible says we're ensnared by the words of our lips, right?
Yep. And I mean, look at the beginning. How powerful are words?
Yeah.
If we're made in the image of God, I'm not.
You tell me, even at this age, you say, hey, Rhett, you're a very considerate guy, holding the doors open for somebody. I may not even notice it. Well, from there on out, I'm going to be, hey, Paul said, let me hold that door for you. I mean, I'm going to do it even more often. I want to live up to that praise. I remember I used to pick up this old lady, little old Italian lady, and to go to a Bible study. This is 30 years ago. And she's, oh, Rhett, you look so handsome with your tie and your jacket. I happened to wear a tie and jacket one night.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Pushing towards the mark, I'm pressing for the prize. I can give up now, cause I've come to realize that these problems that I'm facing are just tests to win the race. I know that God will get me through.